What an introduction. Mike, I can always count on you for an incredible introduction. Probably a little bit more than I deserve, usually. But thank you, and thank you for your friendship. Without a vision, the people perish, or the people run wild. And what that means simply means, it's a really simple thing, that if we don't have any direction, we just will go anywhere. It kind of reminds me of my reading in Joshua, Judges this morning. And it talked about all these various leaders that Israel raised up, and it would come one after another. At first, in the beginning of Judges, there was a lot of direction, and after a while, they just kind of started meandering. At the end, the book really concludes with, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone, you guys know what the rest of that says? Did what was right in their own eyes. And so, really, the idea of vision is really the ability to get our own minds and our thoughts aligned in a particular direction. And our desire, of course, for each one of our lives individually is to have God's vision for each one of our lives. And we, in addition to that, what we do is we want to have God's vision for the entire church. In other words, we are all individuals here, but how do we move together? How do we move together? What is the idea or the thought or the goal that pulls us together in a particular direction? That is what we're looking at. And apart from some kind of central cohering goal, we will all tend to just do our own thing. Everyone just kind of on their own. And we lose that strength, right? What we want is that strength in numbers. And what we're doing is, as we look forward to 2018, the vision, my sermon message today is Vision 2018. And at the beginning of a year, I always kind of start off with a little message on what we can expect for the future. But some things have formulated in my heart a lot more solid and really unexpectedly, if you will. I have a lot of thoughts about my own life. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little wary about how to lead the whole church, because I'd rather lead a Bible study. I'm really comfortable in that, and I'm not as comfortable in leading the whole church. Don't ask me why. I'm not really sure why. I have some thoughts, and I'm going to share that in just a bit. But as we go forward, one of the things that we want to do is kind of take a look back first and see what God has done in the past here at West Oahu. One of the things that that was really neat to see happen here at West Oahu was the starting of small groups. Prior to when I arrived, there was one group in the middle of the week, and it was called Prayer and Praise. And it was a really wonderful time, but all leaders were at that meeting. And eventually I said to the group, I said, you know, what would it be like if all of us, instead of gathering together in this particular meeting, we went out and we led other groups? And that was kind of a vision that I had. And the Lord moved in such a way, I would call it what we would call providential way. Providence is really God going before in some sovereign way, and God ordered things and made that happen. And so a small groups ministry started up through many different providential, I would say supernatural kinds of events that happened. And we've recounted that in the past. One of the things that was really nice out of that was a journaling small group and other kinds of topics. But the journaling small group in particular, I want to highlight this one, because there's so many times and many different people who got into journaling have said, I have never done this before. And as they began journaling in the Bible, they open up the Bible, and you take a little section of scripture here and you say, okay, let's do this during the week. You come back and you share. And it's a type of meditation that people had not done before. And it was done in the small groups. And so we were able to accomplish a number of powerful things. And the journaling itself is just a really neat thing. So that's one of the things in the past. Another thing is that when I first arrived, in fact, when I was candidating for West Oahu, I was sitting right around here, and I remember seeing Daniel coming up here. before the service, he's over there fussing with the soundboard. He's coming up here playing his guitar, and he goes back to the soundboard. And he comes over here and gets the overhead projector ready, and he gets all the slides for the overhead projector ready. And then when we're ready to start, he comes to the microphone, and he opens the service as the chairman. I thought, this guy's doing everything. I know, he is by... Let's all admit, he's really talented, isn't he? He deserves a clap, I tell you. He deserves it. I was there sitting down. I was just getting tired just watching him. He did everything. And so we started, I started helping him out with the worship a little bit. And lo and behold, the Lord brought another worship leader to our congregation. And we have not been the same since. Praise the Lord for that. The Lord has brought children in our midst. And you watch these kinds of things that God is doing, and you get kind of a hint. What is God doing? Sometimes we just, instead of just blasting a vision out there, you kind of watch. What is God doing? What's the trajectory of what God seems to be doing? And we kind of learned that in the Experiencing God study we did, right? What is God doing in the world around you? Take a look. Observe. Let's watch and see what God's doing. And then we participate with what God's already doing, right? Instead of doing our own thing. And God has brought a lot of children to our church. One of the things that happened was these children were, when they reached junior high, they would all disappear. And a bunch of us got together and said, we really need to get these kids that are coming out of elementary school into junior high. We need to pray for God to continue that work. And I believe God was pleased with that because now we have a junior high and high school ministry. God's raised up servants to do that. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a clap offering for that. Through all of this, no matter what we've done, we've talked about discipleship. Discipleship is simply the art, the ingredients that are involved in helping people to grow in their walk with God. That's all it is. Helping people to be a follower. A disciple is simply a follower of Jesus Christ. And how do we help the next person do that? That's discipleship. And at the core, no matter what else we did, we wanted to make sure we did that well. And then take a look at the ingredients. So we've talked about discipleship now and for many, many years. I'm not going to talk very much about that today. But I will highlight a few things as we go along here. So here's one question that I had. Lord, what of all of this is something that you want us to do? And so we take a look at all the various things we could possibly do, and they're just innumerable. And then we focus our thoughts and say, God, what is it that you want us to do here? And that really is the focus of the message today. And I'm really going to speak from my heart some of the things that have been coming up in recent weeks and months. And it's really that new, fresh. But it has been formulating in such a way that I'm ready to speak very confidently about it now. And I want to put it out there and see what the Lord's going to do. Amen? All right. Father in heaven, I submit to you that the words that come out of my mouth, the thoughts that flow that want to communicate what you want, I ask, Lord, that it be of you, led by your Holy Spirit, not just thoughts of man. And if there are certain thoughts of man or ideas, Lord, if you want to bless it, praise the Lord. But if not, if you close the door, we're fine with that because we want to do what you're doing, God. So we sincerely say, Lord, lead us on. In 2018. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. There is always this relentless thing that's in us. If I were to walk from here to here, I would say that you'd say that I've been taking these steps, right? So I'm taking these steps, but everything in my body is working together, has been working the way it's going, right? My liver's working, my heart's pumping, and my brain's functioning, although some might disagree with that. And my kidneys are working, my stomach's working, everything's working, and everything seems to be working together. But I am moving, right? So here's what I want to offer to you. There are certain things that are just relentless that we do. The things that are relentless are things like discipleship, the internal things of teaching people God's word, praying, fellowshipping, and sharing our faith, and finding a place where we serve. That's relentless. That's like being part of the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is also going somewhere. And even the local church is going somewhere. And so there are two kinds of vision. One kind of vision is, how can we be a healthy church? How can we be internally doing the things we need to do? And that is a vision of mine. And I'll say where the thing that has been a little bit different for me, and I confess I've been resistant to this. Probably that's why I've been unable to see what God wanted. But God has really allowed me to see that, Stan, yes, the body needs to be doing certain things well internally in order to be a follower of me. But there's another way to follow, and that is I want the body to go somewhere. I want it to be on mission for something. And so I want to offer this phrase that I coined here. We are the family of God on a mission to increase the family of God. We are the family of God on mission to increase the family of God. And so we are first and foremost the family. And so I just want to make sure we remember that. I'm not going to say too much more about that today, but I think throughout the years, I've been reinforcing that very readily. But we are also on mission. God has appointed us to do something. There's a reason individually and as a church that we are here. As Rick Iwanaga would say, Pastor Rick Iwanaga, that it's the reason we open our church. It's the reason we open our doors. It's to increase the family of God. So we are in the family of God on mission to increase the family of God. And as we move forward, the question that we have for us in the next, in the immediate future is, what is it that God wants us to do? We are on a particular stepping stone. What is the next stepping stone that God wants us to take? And I like that imagery because instead of an ongoing conveyor belt imagery, it's the idea of there are phases in the life of a church. There was a phase when Pearl City Highlands Community Church, a Christian church, moved from Pearl City to Waipahu. That was a phase, and it brought a big change. It was a phase when a new pastor came. There are all of these little things that I talked about are phases in the life of the church. And my thoughts here were, okay, God, what is the next thing that you want us to do? If we're working internally, if the internal parts of our body are working well, what do you want us to do now? And there are three things, and I'm just going to throw it out there right at the beginning so I don't forget. There are three things that God has put on my heart that we do concurrently. Now, first of all, it is not necessarily in order because it's concurrent, but a staff for young adults. So one of the things, as we've been looking at surveys and we look at our own congregation, and as we welcome people into the church, we constantly ask, where are the people who are between 20, 30, and 40? Where are they in our church? They're out there. They're not in here. And so that is a concern of ours. When I first got here, the people who were before me said, our main concern is the next generation. Who's going to pick up that load and weight and run with it when we've moved on? When now we're looking back now, we're looking behind us from the baby boomer generation, and we're finding a vacuum. We have people graduating from high school. We definitely want them one day to be leading this church. But that's not going to happen right away. So, a staff for young adults. Secondly, campus beautification. I think for long enough, we've been saying, once people get into our church, it's a really nice church. But you kind of have to get past the outside. I think we've been saying that long enough. I think it's time for us to do something about that, to really help us to take a look at what this church should look like from the outside. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And thirdly, is to increase our facilities. We are already at a place where our facilities are inadequate in particular areas. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit more. None of these I'm going to talk about in depth, because all of these have a whole series of details that you won't believe have been going on behind the scenes. But I did want to express this to you, because it occurred to me that there are a lot of things that we've been doing that we haven't really communicated well to the congregation. And I want to bring you on, and if we haven't done a good job up till now, we want to start now and begin bringing you on board and keep you on board. Amen? How else can we walk together, right? The scripture says, how can two walk together unless they agree? How can you agree if you don't even know what we're talking about? So leaders, let's just remember this. Wherever we go, let's remind ourselves, we need to bring the congregation on board. Okay, so we are the family of God on mission to increase the family of God. We've talked about these four things before, the four P's. And I want us just to review what this is. We use property. Can you say that with me? We use property. Okay, good. To run programs, to grow people, to fulfill the purposes of God. Okay, very good. That's good enough. Now, I want to start by just take a touch on some of these, the four P's. First of all, the purposes of God. There are so many scriptures I could have chosen. I chose this particular scripture because to me it was the core of what God came to earth for, and his very purpose of so many different things. John 17, 22 to 23. John 17, 22 to 23 says, let's read that together on the screen. Ready, go. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Here we see oneness between Jesus and the Father. Here we see an intended oneness between the Father, Son, and his church. That is the ultimate goal. And then the love, it's a love relationship. It's not just a club. It's a love. And part of all of our leadership's goal here is to help every saint, every believer, experience the love of God. If we were in Christ and Christ is in the Father, then we will and should be experiencing the love of God. And then to let the world know that you sent me. This should be a proclamation, a testament to the world. How are we being a testimony to the world? How do we proclaim that to the world? That is something, this one verse, I think, helps us to encapsulate the familyhood and the mission that we're all on, the purposes of God. I don't want to get too far here, but I want to talk next about growing people. We want to serve the purposes of God. That's our first thing, and then we want to grow people in order to do that. So we've talked about our DNA before in the church, and DNA is really this wheel illustration. You folks have seen this a lot. We actually have a flower illustration too. It's a little bit more complicated, a lot more elements in there, but this really simplifies it for us. The thing I want, you've seen this, you're very familiar with this wheel. The thing you haven't seen, this is the first time you're probably seeing it, is that title up there, Obedient Church, Ministry, and Christian in Action. Can you read that with me? Ready, go. Obedient Church, Ministry, and Christian in Action. So what we mean by DNA, we mean, you know what a DNA is, right? And DNA is in our body. It's the blueprint for everything in your body. And everything in your body has the exact same DNA. Whether it's from your hair, if you cut off a piece of hair and run it into a DNA lab, or if you take off, get a drop of blood, put it on, run it in a DNA lab, or get some fingernails and skin, put it in a DNA lab, you get the exact same DNA. That DNA, that blueprint, is in every single cell. But do all the cells do the same thing? No. So here's what we've been talking about really for a while behind the scenes, but it's time to bring it out. That what we're looking at is, we've talked about a personal DNA, each person in a personal walk with God, getting the word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing, and obeying Jesus Christ as he calls us to what he wants us to do. We've dealt with it in the entire church. How do we, and church leaders has been asking this, how do we make sure we have the word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing, and in response, in obedience to Jesus Christ? We talked about that. This is the newer part. It's not really new, but we have just never told you about it before. Okay, so I'm telling you now. And what we would like to do is have every ministry as well exhibit that DNA. Every ministry exhibit the word, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing in seeking obedience to Jesus Christ. Let me tell you a story. We have would come to worship rehearsal. This is many, many years ago. Come to worship rehearsal, and we'd rehearse all the time, and we would get to know the songs and kind of get to know one another's feel and how we, our personalities and things. And then somebody comes along and says, I have to quit the team. Oh, why? Because my whole family's falling apart. And you wonder, wow, here I am, week after week, month after month, playing music with this individual. And we're doing service with this individual. We're serving the Lord with this individual. And I have no idea that their life is falling apart. And it occurs to us that something's missing. We don't even know each other in any kind of personal way. We're just there. And so something is missing. So we had the serving going on in the worship rehearsal, but we didn't really have maybe the kind of fellowship that we ought to. Or we're working on a building program, and we have a project that we're going to work on. And so we get going, and we start the day, and we finish the day, and we all say goodbye. We enjoy the food, and then we realize we haven't had any word, not one word of Scripture that we talked about. How does all of this building efforts fit into God's Scripture? Does he have anything to say about this? So that's what I mean about the word, getting somehow. Now, we're not going to major, sit there for 4 hours, 5 hours, doing Bible study when we have a work day to go on. Well, I'm not saying to do that. I'm saying get the Word of God somehow into there. Get prayer into there. Ask one another. Use it an opportunity to say, hey, how you doing? What's happening in your life? Hey, I heard about this. Give me an update of what's going on. Use that as an opportunity to get to know each other and use that wheel illustration even as we do ministry. Ministry, small groups, all these opportunities to connect better. You're still going to spend the vast lion's share of your time on the ministry task. You're planning for a banquet, or you're planning for an event. You're going to spend most of your time on that. But let's be people who are really first members of the family. Does that make sense? Any questions? Or am I not supposed to ask that kind of question in a worship service? Okay. We run programs. That's kind of what I already ran into that, the DNA. the wheel really operating through the individual, through ministry, and every program we're running the DNA. One of the things that I did want to say, and this is kind of new, I don't think I've ever said this before, but I want to ask you, if you ever have any particular topics of interest, let me know. let me know if you'd like me to address it from the pulpit. There are lots of different kinds of interests that you might have. Ask me, and I'll pray about that and see how we can get into the preaching schedule and how we can teach on that, okay? So I want to offer that to you. That's kind of new. It's a little bit new, but I want this to be kind of a more interactive time here. I would like us to have more attractional events, like marriage and family seminars. I really love the ones that Daniel's been doing all the time. But I'd like to have more of that kind of thing. I'd like maybe on finances, more maybe on apologetics. And we had a great group when Pat Zukeran came. Health and that kind of thing. We'd like to get that kind of thing. Get people really these kind of programs that help us to be more holistic and full in our church life. And finally, so we're serving the purposes of God, we're growing people, we're running programs, and we use property. Now, on one level, we always want what we're doing in our building to be purposeful. We're never going to just build a building and it has no purpose. So we have a particular purpose. And I want to say that we have something called a building subcommittee, and they have been focusing on what kinds of building do we need to respond to the needs of the programs, right? We use building property to run programs. So what are the programs that we want to run, and how are our facilities falling short, if at all, and what do we need to do? So they have been actually, they've beat the bushes on this, and they have done an incredible amount of background work. And one of the things that is clear, and there are a number of areas that our facility is inadequate. Our classrooms for our younger people are just overflowing, and they still fit, but it's really crowded. And I want to offer us this slogan, rule of thumb, if you will. When you're 80% full, you're full. Have you ever heard that before? When you're 80% full, you are full. What that means is you will not grow any more than that because of people's personal spaces. Even if they do come, going to 90%, 100%, it's just really, there's this other dynamic that provides a pushback against the space. You say, well, we can seat 110 people here. We have 105. We have five more seats. You've already passed your limit. But I want to put that in your ear, because classroom-wise, it applies to worship service as well. And so I want us to think about that. Now, there's maintenance and beautification. I talked about that as well. Now, at a deeper level, this is what I think about. And I want to give thanks to a guy named Eugene Peterson. You guys may know him. He's the author of the Bible version, The Message. And he wrote this. He wrote this about sacred spaces. He said, everything that God has done in the world ever has been done in a place. Now, I have to say this. I received this book just about a week ago, week and a half. And I am understanding a lot of things differently than I used to. I remember when I first got here, one of the first sermons one of the first statements I gave to the group that was here was that really it's all about the church, it's all about the people, and I minimized the function of the facility. And I'll be honest with you, I did not have a very high value on the facility. And I got to a place and I read this, and he says, everything that happened, that God did, happened in a place. I thought, wow. Moses met with God in a tent of meeting. God met with Moses in Mount Sinai. Abraham offered his son Isaac on Mount Moriah, and that's where the ram got caught in a thicket. And I thought about this, and I reflected back on my own walk with Christ. We met in a classroom at the University of Hawaii, and it's there where a lot of my spiritual formation took place, in a classroom. And I thought about that, and I thought, I want to bring up this Genesis 28, 16 to 17, where God intercepts Jacob as he's going in this place called Luz. And I'd like us to read this together. Okay, this is Jacob saying this. So let me just a brief background. God meets him, gives him a promise. You're going to fulfill the promise I gave to your father Abraham. Your descendants will be scattered to the east and west, north and south. And this is all in a dream. And it was in this place called Luz. And Jacob says this. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Surely God was in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." The gate of heaven for me was on a lawn. This is one gate, a lawn at the University of Hawaii, where I received Jesus Christ. Another gate of heaven was sitting in those classrooms at the UH. So I'd like to offer this. The house of God, where Beth means house, El means God, or short for Elohim. Bethel is a bedside in a room in a care facility. Bethel is a seat in a classroom facility where someone invited Jesus Christ into their life and a soul was born again. Bethel is when a teenage boy opens the Bible and Jesus touches his once blind eyes to supernatural understandings. Bethel is a frail elderly woman in a hospital bed feeling the overwhelming presence of Jesus saying, "Do not be afraid." Bethel is a young girl broken and confused sitting down with a youth worker as she hears the powerful voice of Jesus speak to her in her stormy circumstances saying, "Peace, be still." Bethel is a grown man in shame coming back to the faith of his roots and finding his heavenly father not just waiting, but running to embrace him. Bethel is a woman in despair whose husband has left her. She finds the feet and arms and voice and eyes of Jesus Christ as the people of West Oahu Christian Church welcome and embrace her. That is where heaven meets earth. This happens in a place. And I have a completely different view now of facility. Facility helps that to happen. And God said this to me. I'll be careful when I'm saying this, but he doesn't say this all the time. But he says, "I can meet anybody anywhere I want. But I want West Oahu Christian Church to be a place where people will meet me. Bethel for me was a sanctuary at one time where I heard the worship music just flow deep into my spirit and I just broke down in repentance and God opened my heart to the ugliness that was in there and he washed it clean. The next generation is a group we need to look at. I'll be honest with you, I do not know how to minister to them. I've read David Kinneman's book with Barna. I went to his seminar at this past hymn conference. And one guy came back after a break and says, "After all the things you taught, that's really depressing." And I thought, I agree with that. Because I don't know what to do. And yet God wants us to teach the next generation. In Psalm 145:4, God says, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." 145:4. Sorry. I typed that out wrong. Instead of reading that one, just listen to what I said. "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." That's what's on my heart. As we do this, here's what I see. That as we intent on doing this, let's not worry about the resources. I believe God's just going to bring the resources. But I'm going to ask this question. Are you with us? Are you in on this? I'm going to, and you might say, well, Stan, I don't have much money. I really don't have much strength to, like, clean up the yard and things like that. But I want to ask you, let's say Nancy Murakami, I'm going to pick on you right here. Nancy, if you're in on this whole thing, and you say, and I'm just walking past, and you say, Pastor Stan, can I just see something real quick? And you were to tell me, I don't have much to give. I really can't help physically very much. But I am with you, and I'll pray with you, and I'm for you, and I believe God is in on this. That would mean more to me than you can possibly imagine. And I believe as we go forward to this, with this, that God will be like a venturi. A venturi is something that takes a small amount of substance, forces it through a little channel, and it comes out in huge volumes out the other side. That is, if we take an intent, if we believe that this is God's doing, and we're willing to go in that direction, God will supernaturally make things happen. That he brings the resource, that we don't have to conjure it up, that we just have to be praying together and be of one heart and mind and say, God, we want you to do this. We believe this is the direction. We're in this together. Please lead us. And I believe God's going to bring that resource, anything we need. And that's what's on my heart. And I want you to be a foundation giver as we go, foundation builder as we go forward. So the three main priorities, which in my mind can happen all concurrently, staffing for young adults or an assistant pastor, campus beautification, and increased facility. These are the things that I see we need to be doing right away. Will it be uncomfortable? Yes. Will a new staff person inject a different personality and a ministry gifts? Yes. Will more people being here cramp your style? Yes. Will it mean you'll have to park farther? Yes. Even if it rains? Yes. Will it mean sacrifice? Yes. It means more financial needs. Will it mean sacrifice? Yes. It means you're going to have to, but will it be worth it? That's going to be my question. Will it be worth it? There are many people, including myself, who are very comfortable with being able to know everybody here. But what if we were to see new people coming and we were to say, you know, I don't know that person. I'm really uncomfortable. But you know what? It's a sign that, sorry, John. It's a sign that God is working in our midst. It's a sign that God is working in our midst. The fact that I don't know everybody now. And I pray that that's where God will take us. That's what's on my heart. Many of you are hearing this for the first time. Many of you, this is not new, but many of you are hearing it for the first time. I'm going to ask you to pray about it. Now, I just want to quiet our hearts now just to come before the Lord. Lord, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is your purposes that succeed. Your word says, in his heart a man plans his ways, but the Lord orders his steps. And Father, I will no longer shrink back. And I sense, Lord, that you are already on mission. You've already been on mission. You're just waiting for us to catch up and get on board. Father, remind us that you are the one who's doing it. And that we're just participating with you. And we pray, Lord, that as we move forward, as we see the needs that happen, as we mobilize to take care of and respond to the things that you present in front of us, that you would be the one who really makes things go. That we will plant and water, but you would cause things to grow. And we submit that to you, God. Do your mighty work in our midst here today. We're not satisfied with the way things are. How we need you to move right here at West Oahu. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.